no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome to another hour of radio drama on the Relic Radio Show. We'll begin our show this week with Theater 5. We'll hear Why Can't Life Be More Like the Movies, their episode from November 3rd, 1964. After that, it's Suspense and A Friend to Alexander from August 15th, 1956.
You wonder why I brought us all together out here.
Yeah, Bill, it had occurred to us to wonder, especially on a night like this.
Don't get us wrong. We're always happy to see you, aren't we, Nan?
Absolutely. But neither Lulu nor I can understand what you got us to come for.
Yeah, all the way from Los Angeles just to meet in this,
Shack is the word you're groping for, Lulu.
Well, there's no need of delicacy, kid. Shack is the word, certainly. And why do you suppose I live in a shack now?
Because you broke?
That's right. Then I'll bet you don't live in any mansion yourself.
Well, I don't exactly. I'm a house guest for a week at a time with various friends.
I tried that. Second time around, I wasn't welcome.
QED, we're all broke.
Yep.
Amen.
Well, I got you here because I know how we can make money.
Much?
Oh, about a quarter of a million.
I'm glad I came.
I think I'm glad I came. Just how do we go about earning this money, Bill?
Well, perhaps I'd better lead up to this gradually.
Uh-oh.
Now, let me put a question to you. Ned, how long have you been out of work?
Since Trans-Republic Pictures folded.
Lulu?
Since Trans-Republic Pictures folded.
Well, I don't imagine you're in suspense about my situation, but I've been out of work since Trans-Republic folded, too. And it's my opinion that the only way that we three can make money...
Yeah, we used to make money, didn't we? Oh, sure, when Trans-Republic was casting us in some new turkey every month.
Exactly, we used to make money. And I think that the only way that we can make money again is to do what we proved ourselves to be so good at back then.
Bill Anders, did you get us all the way out here to the edge of the Nevada desert just to propose the formation of some repertory company?
No, I'm as much a ham as anyone else, Bill. But to tell you the truth, I've been thinking lately that all three of us, if you'll pardon me for saying so, are very limited actors.
Yeah, well, I know that. No, I haven't got any repertory company in mind. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I don't have acting in mind.
Now, look, let me ask you, what is it we did in those pictures of ours?
Well, usually we got sent to jail in the end.
Yeah, that's true, but that was just to satisfy the crime doesn't pay people. When we were playing those pictures for Trans Republic, what was it that we were best at?
Good heavens. Hiding in a shack.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is like pulling teeth. Why were we hiding in a shack in every one of those pictures?
Because... Oh, dear.
Oh, Bill, you can't hear...
In every picture, we kidnapped somebody, didn't we?
Bill, let's go back to Los Angeles and see if we can get into television.
In every picture, we kidnapped somebody, didn't we?
And then hid in a shack.
Here's a shack. Heaven only knows. I hope you haven't got some innocent child tied up in the next room, Bill.
Listen to me a minute, will you? I know those pictures we were in were no good, but they were researched. Now, maybe the rest of you didn't go around to the theaters to see them, but I did. Now, every one of them carried the seal of the National Investigation Council. Yeah, I was always some overage detective acting as technical director on each of those pictures. This means that a willing student could learn something from them.
As I remember, what you usually learned was that crime doesn't pay.
Yeah, how about that?
You also learned why crime didn't pay when it didn't. Now, what always happened in that shack we hid out in?
Well, there were two different things, depending on which one of the two plots we were using in the particular picture. Either Ned here would go into town for groceries and get drunk and talk to...
And is Ned really a drunk?
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
Or a blabbermouth?
No.
All right. So we're not going to be defeated by that kind of slip. Now, the other slip that was made in that other plot they used to put us in...
Oh, yeah, sure, I remember. You and I would both get lustful about Lulu, and we'd kill each other off.
All right, all right. But come on, this is real life. Is there any chance of such an absurd thing happening?
Oh, good heavens, no.
I hate you both.
Well, now, look, I want to be fair. You've both forgotten one other plot. That's the one where we have the little blue-eyed, blonde-haired child. Lulu gets sentimental about him and turns us all in.
You know, now that could happen. I like children.
You like 16-year-old giggly girls who admire the Beatles?
I detest them.
Well, that is the kind of girl we are going to kidnap. Mm. Now, you with me?
Jay, Bell, how do we know we'd be any good at kidnapping, huh?
Because we've had more experience at it than anybody in the country.
And we've got something, man.
Exactly.
You know what? I figured that I need about $12,000 a year just to eat and put clothes on me. What I have left at this moment is about $2,000.
Yeah, you're lucky. I got $1,500.
Well, that's about what I've got. But as I say, we have one other asset. Years of experience in kidnapping people.
You said there was a 16-year-old giggly girl?
Yeah. But if you remember from the pictures we were in, it's not the victim that matters so much as the victim's father.
Naturally. He has to be wealthy.
Well, he is. Now, I don't know why this man has taken up residence in that hamlet you passed through when you were coming out here, but he has. His name, you ready for this now? His name is Gregory Graham, and he is a tycoon. Now, nobody's ever seen him, but the long line operators in town goes around telling everyone how this Graham is always calling all over the country, putting over big business deals involving millions. Now, the place he's leased to live in is one of the show places of the whole West. Vans rumble along the road, bringing furniture and odd objects to him.
Oh, in short, he's rich enough to qualify to have his daughter kidnapped.
That's right. And she has her own car, and every Thursday night she comes along the highway, just 2 miles from here, slowing down as she gets opposite the home of a certain pimply youth who has caught her attention. Now, you can count on her being there at 8:30.
What about the pimply youth?
Now, we don't have to worry about him seeing us. He's shy. He runs and hides in the cow shed at 8:25.
Did you say $250,000?
Yeah.
Let's take a vote.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Stop! Pee-wee, is something wrong?
Yes, I was in an accident. Can you give me a ride back to town?
Oh, gosh, yes. Get in.
Thanks, kid. Come on, fellas! This is a snatch.
A what?
A snatch.
You mean a kidnapping?
That's what we mean, sister.
Oh, super!
Turn off the radio!
Right. But I wanted to listen.
Look, kid, you've been kidnapped, and you'll do what we say.
But I thought you wanted to listen to the radio, too.
You're just the newscast.
And we've heard 3 of those already.
No more rock and roll. Well, it looks as if this kid's father didn't report it.
Either that or the authorities didn't tell the reporters.
How much ransom are you going to ask?
Yeah, none of your business.
Oh, I wish Ned would come back.
Is that the other man's name? Where'd he go? Did he go to find my father? Aren't you afraid he'll louse things up? He doesn't look very reliable to me.
Mary, he may not look reliable to you, but he has pulled no less than 85 kidnappings.
Gosh, I'm impressed.
That's Ned now.
Oh, I'll get it.
Don't open that door.
Why not?
Well, aren't you going to look out the window first? It might be the cops.
No, she's right, Bill.
Yeah, but you can't see the outside of the door from the window.
You should have thought of that before you kidnapped me.
What do we do?
Hey, Bill, let me in.
It's Ned. Let him in. What are we listening to this kid for?
I was only trying to help.
Hey, you certainly took your time.
Did anybody follow you?
No.
Are you sure?
Shut up.
Well, Ned?
Well, I'm practically certain this kid's father hasn't reported the snatch. There are 2 bars in town. I spent some time in each one.
Yeah.
I had my hair cut by the deputy sheriff, and I bought all the stuff at the local market.
Mm-hmm.
I swear, nobody in that town is excited about anything. Everybody's yawning, as a matter of fact.
Fine, fine. And there was nothing on the radio.
We better turn on the radio and listen to the next newscast. Sometimes they cut in with special bulletins.
That'll be enough out of you. I said no more rock and roll.
All right. We'll write the ransom note now.
Okay. Want to dictate it?
Yes. Take it down a block letters.
I never heard of anything so dumb.
Why?
You cut letters out of a newspaper and magazines and paste them on a piece of paper.
Hey, Bill, she's right.
You know, that's what we did in the biter bit.
Yes, but we got caught in the biter bit.
But not for that reason. You and I were both in love with Lulu. That was the trouble.
Oh, I guess you're right.
Any magazines? Any papers?
Yeah, sure. Over there under the bed. Yeah, I am a reading man. As a matter of fact, we can cut whole words out of my copy of Remembrance of Things Past. That'll baffle the police.
Nah. These papers and magazines will do.
I told you that was how to do it. Now give me the scissors here.
All right. Now the first letter we want is D.
D? For what?
Well, we start off. Dear Mr. Graham.
Oh, that's silly. The first letter you want is W for warning.
That's a darn good idea.
Yeah. Now, what comes after warning?
Well, wait a minute. Give me time to think.
No, wait. Shut up, Ned. Give her time to think.
Yeah. You know, Mary, I'm awfully glad it's you we kidnapped.
Now.
Graham speaking.
This is the party that sent you the note.
Is my daughter safe?
We're talking about a parcel that me and my friends are holding for you.
No. Oh, yes, I forgot. Is the parcel safe?
Listen to me. Tonight at 8:15, you're driving to town. You're going to the Mary Andrew Salon.
What?
You have two Boilermakers. And then leave and go back to your car.
But I got this ulcer. I can't drink.
Oh. Have three ginger ale.
Three ginger? In the Mary Andrew Saloon, everybody will laugh at me.
Let them laugh. I don't understand what you're to do.
Yes, all right. Will my daughter be in the car when I come back to it?
Just follow instructions.
Yes, but... Hello? I'm going to be the laughing stock of the Mary Andrew.
Well, he did it. He drove into town slowly.
Yeah.
Parked his car and went into the bar. He had two Boilermakers and surreptitiously poured them into the spittoon. Then he went out, waited a while, and then drove back to his house.
Nobody was following him?
Nobody. I'm convinced he hasn't told the cops.
All right. Ned's in the next room with young Mary. Let's get him. Yeah, hey, turn that thing off.
I'm sorry, Bill. I kind of like it.
I've been teaching him the nuances.
Never mind nuances. The time's come for the second phone call, kid.
Hello. Gregory Graham speaking.
We're very satisfied with the way you've behaved yourself, Mr. Graham.
Well, I'm not satisfied. Where's my parcel? I warn you, I don't want one hair of her head harmed.
Did you really think you were going to get her when you went to the town? We didn't even tell you to bring the ransom money with you. We were just testing it.
Well, all right. Are you satisfied now?
Yeah. You got the $250,000?
Certainly I have.
All right. I know that you know where the old abandoned last dollar silver mine is because you were making inquiries about buying it.
Yes, I know where it is.
Go there at midnight. Bring the money. Now, you know how the entrance of the mine is boarded up?
Yeah.
Well, it isn't boarded up anymore. You go into the mine. Just inside the entrance, there's a cardboard box.
Oh, you want me to put the money in the box?
No. I want you to put the box over your head.
What?
And you walk down the stairs to the abandoned shed. Keep the box on your head.
But I'll fall and break my neck.
That's up to you. When you get to the bottom of the stairs, my Confederate will be there to meet you.
Well, all right.
I'm worried.
So am I.
Well, I don't see why. What are you worried about? Gosh.
Bill, we're supposed to meet your father in the mine at midnight. The mine is 15 minutes away from here, and it's now 1 o'clock in the morning.
I'll bet he did fall down those stairs and break his neck. I don't see why you insist that he put that silly box on his head in the first place.
Well, gee whiz, you didn't want my father to see you, did you?
Lolo?
Yeah?
Suppose he did fall down those stairs and die. You remember anything like that from any of those pictures? I mean, under the law, are we then murderers?
I don't think so.
Oh, yes. It's the natural and probable result. I read that somewhere. And you were committing a felony. I mean, kidnapping is a felony, isn't it?
Oh, shut up.
Oh, here they are. Oh, thank heavens. Come in, come in.
Oh, brother, what a time we had.
You better take my arm. I can't see a thing.
Right this way, Mr. Graham.
Thank you, young man.
What took you so long, Bill?
Did you ever try to get a man to walk a straight line across a field at midnight when his head is in a box?
Is my daughter here?
I'm here, Daddy.
Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. They treated me just super.
Where's the money?
Here. It's in the package.
My daughter and I will go now.
Not until we count the money, you don't.
Here goes.
Let me add it.
$250,000. Yep. Hey, wait a minute.
What is this?
Daddy, you've taken all the funny money from my Make a Million game.
Just what is the big idea?
If you'll let me take this silly box off my head, I'll explain.
Now, take the box off his head.
Yeah, okay. There we are.
Greg White! Why are you all saying Greg White? That was my daddy's professional name.
It certainly is a surprise to see you three here, Lulu, Ned, and Bill.
You know them, Daddy?
Mary, in some 85 to 100 pictures that I made for Transit Public, I played a tycoon, and these three people played kidnappers. Good heavens, kidnappers. You're still playing kidnappers.
Yeah, well, that's quite a path. What in the devil are you doing, Greg?
I'm playing a tycoon.
Oh, no.
Ever since Trans-Republic closed down, I've been broke. And finally, I had $3,000 or $4,000 left that I figured I could put to work for me, convincing people in real life that I was indeed a tycoon.
You mean you haven't got any real ransom money to pay us?
He's got $3,000 or $4,000. He said so.
Not any longer. I rented a big house. I staged phone calls to friends for the local operator to listen to. I bought a lot of things on credit all the time, waiting to work up a genuine deal with somebody who had money.
And you got no nibbles?
Oh, I got a dozen nibbles from people who expected me to finance them. I'll tell you, I've been at the end of my rope for the past week. I'm in debt to the tune of $2,500 or so, and I haven't known where to turn. Until now, of course.
Until now?
What do you mean?
Yeah. Explain yourself.
Well, it's very simple. My wife and two friends know where I went tonight. Up until now, I haven't reported Mary's kidnapping. But if I don't return by 3 a.m, my wife and those friends of mine will report it. In that event, it ought to seem like old times to you. You'll be caught by the police again.
Oh, well, look, what do you think we are? You can go. Take Mary and go.
Well,
go.
I want a little more than that.
What do you mean?
I want $2,500.
You're crazy.
Daddy, you're a wonderful businessman after all.
Well, I figure you people have committed a federal offense that carries a mandatory death sentence, but I'm willing to settle out of court.
Yeah, well, I think that's a very shaky law.
Oh, no, it isn't. Shall we drive into the sheriff's office and see what he thinks about it?
He's got us.
Hey, Bill, can't you think any way out of it?
Why? No.
Cash, please.
What now?
How about a bank robbery? We did a couple of those in the old days.
No. How about robbing a warehouse?
Huh?
Burrs?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that picture we were in? What was the name of it?
No, kids, let's face it. We've got to go to work just like everybody else.
Theater 5 has presented Why Can't Life Be More Like the Movies? Written by Robert Stenadella and directed by Ted Bell. In the cast, Jackie Grimes, Scott Cotsworth, Arlene Walker, Ralph Bell, and Marie Masters. Audio engineer Marty Folia. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastostenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Otter. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, we bring you a classic short story by James Thurber. So now, starring Mr. John Daner, here is our suspense play, A Friend to Alexander.
I've taken to dreaming about Aaron Burr every night.
What for?
How do I know what for? What for, the woman says.
You do look tired, Harry.
And a session like I had last night is worse than no sleep at all. I should look tired.
Aaron Burr. He's a funny person to be dreaming about nowadays. I mean, with all the talk about the A-bombs and the H-bombs and the election and everything, I wish you'd go see Dr. Fox.
Oh, nonsense.
Well, maybe you need some different vitamins. Or maybe some of those new pills. Those, Starax, Aritrix. What do they call them again?
Reserpine, chlorpromazine, one of the tranquilizers?
No, it's another name.
Oh, Ataraxix.
Oh, that's
Ataraxix, tranquilizers, all the same thing.
Well, maybe you need some of those. They're supposed to do wonders for people.
All I need is to stop seeing Aaron Burr every time I close my eyes.
I don't see why you see him in your dreams. Where do you see him?
Oh, places. Maybe Washington Square, Bowling Green, or on Broadway.
Right here in town? How odd.
Well, he lived in New York, you know. I'll be talking to a woman in a Victoria, or a woman holding a white lace parasol.
Oh?
And suddenly there's Burr, bowing, smiling, and smelling like a carnation.
Harry, will you get me a cigarette, please?
Sure. He'll be telling us stories about France and getting off his insults. Here you are, Bess. Hey. When did you start smoking before breakfast?
Just hold the light where I can reach it, please.
Right.
Who is the woman in the Victoria, Harry?
What?
That you dream about.
Oh, how do I know people in dreams? They're nobody at all or everybody?
You see Aaron Burr plainly enough. I mean, he isn't nobody or everybody.
All right, but I don't know who the woman is. Maybe it's Madame Jumel or Mittens Willett or a girl I knew in high school. It's not important.
Who is Mittens Willett?
Well, she was a famous actress 75 years ago or so. She's buried in an old cemetery on 2nd Avenue.
Oh. Oh, goodness, you're so well-read. It's very sad about Mittens Willett, isn't it?
Why? Why is it?
Well, I mean, she probably died young. Almost all women did in those days. Oh, Harry, please, don't pace back and forth like that.
You know what he did? I was standing talking to Alexander Hamilton, and Burr stepped up and slapped him in the face.
Alexander Hamilton? My goodness.
Yes, and then when I looked at Hamilton, who do you suppose he was?
I don't know, dear. Who was he?
He was my brother, the one who was killed by that drunk in the cemetery.
Just stand aside there, fellow.
Huh? Why? Why should I?
Perhaps you don't recognize a former officer of the Revolutionary Army and a United States Senator.
I recognize you, all right, Burr. You may have been an officer, but Washington hated you. And as for winning that election for my friend's father-in-law, well, I'll bet there was something crooked about the way the ballots were counted. Ha!
Thank you.
More bacon, Harry. Another egg. Did the Giants win last night? It is the Giants you like, isn't it?
Oh. I wish he'd go back to France and stay there.
Who, dear?
Who do you think?
Oh, you mean Aaron Burr. Did you dream about him again? I don't see why you dream about him all the time. Don't you think you ought to take some Luminol?
No. Last night he kept shoving Alexander around.
Alexander?
Hamilton. I certainly know him well enough by this time to call him by his first name. He hides behind my coattails every night, practically.
Oh, Harry, dear, you shouldn't dwell on your nightmares or whatever they are.
Ooh, that's what they are. There's no mistake about it.
We ought to get out in the country over the weekend. Why don't we go to the old Drover's Inn? You like it there.
Hamilton has not only become my brother Walter, but practically every guy I ever really liked. Well, that's just natural, I guess.
Well, of course it is, dear. Oh, Harry, I do wish you'd go to Dr. Fox.
I'm going to the zoo and feed popcorn to the rhinoceros. That makes things seem all right. For a little while, anyway. Oh, you're not going through with it, Burr?
Certainly I'm going through with it. He accepted the challenge.
But Mr. Hamilton had no intention of harming you. He just proved that.
Your friend brought this on himself, fellow. Hamilton called me, and I use his own words, a dangerous man of whom I could detail a more despicable opinion. Well, let this be a warning that Aaron Burr brooks insult from no man.
No! No, don't, Burr! Alexander, look out! He's going to... Oh, no! Oh,
Harry! Oh, Harry! Dear, no. Wake up! Oh. Wake up, dear!
Bess, find the light, please.
Harry!
Bess!
Oh, you frightened me so. Yes, there. Oh, dear! What was it?
Burr got him. He got Alexander. Oh, Bess, that dirty
Harry, let me hold you. It's all right, dear. It's all right. But, it was just another nightmare, but it's all
Alexander,
right
he just fired into the air. He fired into the air and smiled at him, just like Walter, and then...
There, Harry.
Oh. And then Burr, that fiend, he took deliberate aim. I saw him take deliberate aim, and he killed poor Alexander in cold blood.
Here, take this, Harry. Then you'll be able to go back to sleep.
Yeah. Well, I ran to Alexander, but he was dead. There was just nothing I could do.
You better take another, dear. Two won't hurt you.
And then Burr swaggered over. He's always a nasty, sneering, foppish man. And he stood over us, and he actually laughed. And I looked down at Alexander. And his face was Walter's face.
Oh, Harry. Harry, darling. Look, I'm going to stay here with you for the rest of the night. Everything will be all right. And we'll go and see the doctor tomorrow.
Oh.
Now, just what seems to be the trouble, Mr. Andrews?
Nothing seems to be the trouble.
He has nightmares, Dr. Fox.
Oh, I see. You look a little underweight, perhaps. Are you eating well, Mr. Andrews? Getting enough exercise?
I'm not underweight. I eat the way I always have and get the same exercise.
Now, Harry, your appetite certainly isn't good in the morning.
Well, naturally not in the morning.
You see, Doctor, I think he's worried about something because he always has this same dream.
Same dream, eh?
It's about his brother, Walter, who was killed in the cemetery by a drunken man. Only it isn't really about him. It's Aaron Burr and Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. Well, very few people are actually killed in cemeteries. Would you mind stepping into the next room, Mr. Andrews? May as well begin with the electrocardiograph and proceed with basal metabolism, cranial microcardiography. And so, from what we can determine thus far, I think we can say that you're in tip-top shape, Mr. Andrews.
I make it a point to keep in shape.
I very much doubt that the lab will turn up anything. Meanwhile, we know that the heart of yours is fine, sound as a dollar.
Oh, Harry, that's wonderful news.
Even sounder, I might say. My bent was toward economics rather than medicine. The pills I... gave you will fix up any temporary difficulty you may experience in falling asleep.
Well, it wasn't the falling asleep, Dr. Fox. It was what happened after he got there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you might call me in a week or so, Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, I'll do that. Come on, Bess.
Goodbye, Doctor, and thank you so much.
Not at all. Nice to see both of you.
Well, I hope you're satisfied. There's nothing the matter with me at all.
Oh, I'm glad your heart's so fine. He said it was fine, you know.
Sure, it's fine. Everything's fine.
And I was thinking, dear, now that Alexander Hamilton is dead, you won't see anything more of Aaron Burr.
And the man says, I quit because I couldn't stand the cooking odor.
Oh, Mr. Andrews, how priceless.
Yeah, I thought it was rather funny myself.
I failed to see the humor. I thought it rather coarse.
Oh, it's you, Burr.
Why don't you leave, my good man?
I'll leave after I've had a talk with you, maybe. Not before.
I see. Lovely ladies, will you excuse me for a moment?
Certainly, Mr. Burr. Come, ladies.
Now, my good man.
And don't you, my good man, me, you murderer.
I presume you refer to the affair of honor in which I engaged Hamilton.
You know darn well I do.
Let me say merely that had I been called a murderer by one more nearly my equal, I should deal with him as I dealt with Hamilton. Just who are you anyway, ubiquitous clod?
I am Henry Andrews. Harry to my friends. I'm an architect.
An architect. And you presume to converse with a soldier, a barrister, the second highest elective officer of the Republic, and a gentleman.
Well, you may be all those things except the last one, but you disobeyed your superiors in the army. As far as I'm concerned, your kind of lawyers are on an ethical level with jockeys. You're vice president all right enough, but you tried to double-cross Jefferson so you'd get the top job. And don't go calling yourself a gentleman, because you deliberately shot Alexander after he had fired his bullet into the air.
But I fired mine with my eyes closed.
You what?
Certainly. Or as my French friends say, certainement.
Oh, and incidentally, don't you and your French friends try any funny business with that Mexican conquest and settlement deal either. You're liable to end up in court on a charge of treason.
We were discussing my marksmanship. Let me inform you that I have upon occasion hit the ace of spades at 30 paces, blindfolded.
I'll bet.
If you were not so far beneath me, I would send my seconds to call upon you. Henceforth, be on your good behavior, fellow. I shall have one of my lackeys give you a taste of the riding crop.
More coffee, Harry? Harry!
Bess, don't! Don't do that, Bess.
But you were a million miles away.
No, I wasn't. I've been sitting right here.
Did you have another dream about that man?
Oh, I wish I'd never told you about it. Just forget it, will you?
I can't forget it with you going on this way. Harry, I think you ought to see a psychiatrist.
Oh, they're all quacks, a pack of quacks. Dr. Fox told you I was all right.
What does he do now?
What does who do now?
Aaron Burr.
Oh, well, he goes around bragging that he dueled Hamilton with his eyes closed. Furthermore, since you asked me, he jostles me at parties now.
Harry, I've simply got to get you away from here. Maybe if you slept someplace else for a few nights.
What place else?
Well, why don't we go to the country for the weekend? Let's go to Lime Rock Lodge.
Well, if we're going to the country, why don't we visit the Crowleys? You like them, don't you?
Oh, of course I do.
Bob has a pistol. And we could do a little target shooting.
Well, what do you want to shoot a pistol for? I should think you'd want to get away from that.
Yeah, sure. I just might have figured out how to get away from it.
Sister, 50 times as fast as you can. Aha, that's the secret of a martini, boy.
Well, nobody makes them like you, Bob.
Ah, thank you. Ah, Bess?
Thanks.
Alice?
Thank you, darling.
There you are, Harry.
Thank you, Bob. Aha.
Well, here's a go.
Down the hatch.
Cheers, please.
Well, how you been, boy?
Oh, never better, Bob. Never better. Gee, it's good to be here.
Oh, a nice, peaceful weekend is just what Harry needs.
We were so pleased when you called. We've simply been vegetating. The servants are getting fed up with taking care of just the two of us.
Oh, do you still have Madison and Clothita?
Oh, of course.
They are so priceless.
Yes, indeed. Been busy, Harry?
No, not too. Did a big provincial house out in Southampton. We got a 26-story office building on the boards.
Wow, and he says he hasn't been too busy.
Oh, you ought to see the building. I mean, it's going to be all bronze and acrobatic glass.
Huh?
Excuse me while I kiss my wife. She means with actinic glass and copper, dear, but I wouldn't know what to do without her.
Oh, you kids, you don't change a bit.
Yeah, married 14 years and still on honeymoon.
It's 15, isn't it, dear?
Yep.
Well, how about refills? Can't let the eyes dilute the vermouth.
Oh, as soon as I check Lothita on dinner, dear. Oh, want to come out to the kitchen and say hello to her, Bess?
I'd love to. Don't you boys go drinking our dividends.
Oh, lots more where that came from. Oh, here you are, boy.
These are the greatest.
Thank you.
How's it with you, Bob?
Oh, couldn't be better. At least, now that you're here. Kind of a lonesome grind finishing the book.
I'll bet. You got it all buttoned up?
Well, just about. Excuse me for bringing it up, Harry, but you feeling better about Walter now?
Oh, yeah. Just one of those things. No use brooding about it, I guess. The guy who killed him is put away.
Sure. Oh, I know how tough it was, but now you've got the right slant on it. Well, sir, what can we offer you in the way of a pleasant weekend?
Just what you always give us, some relaxation. The first thing I want is a good night's sleep.
Oh, well, this is the place to get it. Come on, drink up there, sir.
Yeah, sure. Hey, you still fool around with your target pistols?
Yeah, every once in a while. I got me a pip of a set, new ones, the latest.
Let's try them out tomorrow. See if you can teach me to hit a barn door or something.
That's pretty good, Harry. Come on over, take a look.
Better, huh?
Oh.
You think I'm getting the hang of it now?
Sure you are. All six shots in the tree and two of them on the target yet.
Hey, they aren't that.
Well, not exactly bullseyes, but look, this one's just a shade above the outside ring.
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Sure.
Bob, would you say that bullseye is about the height of a fairly short man's heart?
Well, just about.
Okay,
depends
I want to try something.
One, two... Three,
well, what are you
four,
up to, boy?
Five.
What, what's
six,
the idea?
Seven, eight.
What are you going to do?
Nine, ten.
Hey! Hey!
Any of them hit the target?
Hit the target? Man, if I hadn't flattened two of them, it'd hit me. What do you think you're doing?
Well, isn't that the way they used to pace off in the old days when they fought duels?
Well, I guess so, but whew, you gave me a scare.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were standing
oh,
so close.
Oh, that's okay. Well, come to think of it, Harry, I don't think they paced off with the gun held straight up in the air like you did. I think they kept their arm hanging, you know, straight down.
Oh?
Yeah.
One, two,
Harry,
three,
no,
four,
don't try it again,
five,
for the love of...
Six,
hey, Harry, no,
nine,
never, don't.
Ten. Any of them on target?
How can I tell if they're on the target when... Hey, look, Harry, never close your eyes. Never, never, never fire with your eyes closed.
Well, I just thought I'd try it that way.
Good Lord, man. Come on, give me that gun, will you?
Sure. Here, I guess I need more practice.
Not with me standing around. Well, come on, let's get back to the house and shake up a drink. Boy, I've got the jumps.
I sure do. I need a lot more practice.
As I so aptly put it to General Arnold at Quebec, a defensive strategy may save men, but an offensive force wins the battle.
That's why I hate you, Burr. Human lives mean nothing to you.
Ah, observe now who says he hates me. Henry Andrews. One Henry Andrews, an architect.
Look, don't you ever push me again.
One Henry Andrews, an architect. A menial laborer.
Now, you just wait a minute. You have to go to college to be an architect, you know.
I fail to recall the subject on the curriculum at the College of New Jersey, where I matriculated.
Well, maybe they didn't teach it there, but look what College of New Jersey turned out to be. Princeton. And you're bragging.
May I remind you of your previous conversation? The one in which I discussed my unerring marksmanship?
And may I remind you that you killed my friend Alexander?
A friend to Alexander. Use care, my man. The phrase might well make an epitaph.
Well, challenge me. Go ahead. I dare you. I dare you.
Harry!
I dare
Harry,
you, Burr. I
wake
dare
up.
You to
shut. Wait, Upton!
Huh?
Harry!
Yes, don't. Don't shake me like that.
Darling, you were practically shouting. And it's only 4 o'clock. You wake Bob and Alice.
One Henry Andrews, an architect. That's what he calls me now.
Oh, I hoped you weren't going to dream about him anymore. I thought if I brought you up here, you
It's
might...
him or me, Bess. I can't stand this forever.
Oh, neither can I, Harry.
Oh, Bess, dear, it's all right. I'm sorry. Look. Now, look, honey, you go back to sleep and forget the whole thing. It'll be daylight soon. I'm going to sneak out very quietly and get some air.
Bob?
Yes, Alice, I'm awake. I heard them.
Not again.
I'm afraid so. He's out there peppering away at that doggone tart.
We better get up, Bob. Yeah. Go out and get him, and I'll put on some coffee.
Yeah, he'll need some. Where's that other darn slipper? Oh, I got it.
Is he walking his sleep or what?
Well, Bess says he never walks in his sleep.
Do you think he'll be petrified again? Madison, too, I suppose.
Tell him what you told him yesterday, that he couldn't sleep, and he just went out to shoot a little.
I'm so glad to see them. But I'll be so glad when they go this afternoon.
Me, too. Well, come on, dear. You know, he said a funny thing when I went out to get him yesterday.
I could stand a funny thing.
I'll get him one of these nights, he said.
I don't suppose poor Bess can sleep through this.
Let's see how she could. Better knock at her door and see if she's ready for some coffee, too.
Bob, what's wrong with Harry, anyway?
Search me. I guess it's like Clotheda said. He just seems to have the shoots.
I'm sorry the weekend turned out like it did, dear.
No, it's all right. I thought it might work, too. And in a way, maybe it did work.
Well, it does seem good to be home. I mean, our own apartment and our own things, our own schedule.
Yeah, this is better. Another nightcap, Bess?
No, dear, but you go right ahead.
Yeah, I'll have one more splash and then turn in. Oh, golly, I'm tired.
Harry.
Oh.
Why don't you sleep in my room tonight?
Well, you'd keep shaking me all night to keep me awake.
No, I wouldn't, dear. Only if you...
You're afraid to let me meet him.
Oh, I am afraid, Harry. Terribly afraid.
Well, why do you always think everybody else is better than I am? I can outshoot him the best day he ever lived.
That isn't what I meant about being afraid.
Furthermore, I have a modern pistol. He has to use an old-fashioned single-shot muzzle loader.
Is that quite fair, Harry?
What do I care if it's fair or not?
Oh. Please don't be mad with me, Harry. Harry, I'm so unhappy.
I'm sorry, dear. Don't you worry about me, Bess. I'll be all right. I'll be fine. We'd better go up, dear. Now, please don't cry anymore.
Well, I'm trying to stop.
Sure. Now, good night kiss, darling. Everything's going to be fine. I'm ready to take care of everything now.
No matter what happens, I love you, Harry. I've loved you more every day we've had together. Kiss me again, dearest. Kiss me just once more.
Very well, Andrews. My code as a gentleman will permit no further insolence. If you insist upon ending it thus...
I do insist.
I assume your blindfold is secure.
I assume yours is.
And we have agreed upon 10 paces. Well, are you ready, fellow?
You bet I am. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... 6, 7.
You're his regular physician, are you, Dr. Fox?
That's right. I examined him only 4 or 5 days ago.
So the lady said. That's why we called you in. As long as he's been under treatment within 30 days, you just sign the death certificate and our office doesn't have to bother with an autopsy.
I understand. Usual procedure.
I know it's tough on you, Mrs. Andrews, the shock and all, but it's the way I hope it happens to me when the time comes.
Oh.
Peaceful, quiet, quick, in my own bed. Heart just quits.
You know, it's extraordinary. His heart was sound as a dollar when I examined him. Now it's just stopped, as if he'd been shot.
They'll go that way sometimes.
Dr. Fox.
Hmm?
Look. Harry's right hand.
Mm-hmm. Clenched a bit, Mrs. Andrews. Nothing unusual.
But the three bottom fingers and the thumb. Like they were gripping a handle.
Rather, yes.
Mm-hmm. And see the index finger. How it's curved. As if he were just about to press the trigger on a pistol.
Oh, rigor mortis, Mrs. Andrews. The hands will take an odd position sometimes in rigor mortis.
Harry never even fired a shot. Aaron Burr killed him the way he killed Alexander Hamilton.
Mrs. Andrews, take it easy.
Aaron Burr shot him through the heart. I knew he was. I knew he was.
Doctor, what in the name
of... Oh, poor Andrews. I should have done something at the time. This could even have been contributory.
I'm not too sure I follow you.
You see, she came in with her husband the other day. She spoke and she acted most peculiarly. I should have done something.
But what is this Aaron Burr, Alexander Hamilton business?
Huh? Obsessive hallucination of hers. Mrs. Andrews very evidently suffers from one of the schizoid psychoses. Oh, yeah. I'm afraid she'll have to be committed.
Suspense, in which Mr. John Daner starred in tonight's presentation of A Friend to Alexander. Be sure to join us again when we bring you another presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills. That's next time on Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis. You have heard A Friend to Alexander, written by James Thurber and adapted for Suspense by Fran von Hartisfeld. The music was composed and conducted by Fred Steiner. Featured in the cast were Paula Winslow, Ben Wright, Victor Rodman, Miriam Wolfe, Charlotte Lawrence, Joseph Kearns, and Larry Thor.
As national interest runs high in the conventions and the results, CBS Radio, which is broadcasting these important events, urges you to follow through to make sure you're registered to vote next November. No matter which candidate you prefer, you are lost in making a choice unless you're registered to vote in a national election. Are you sure the rest of the voters in your family are? Make sure today. Registration laws vary from state to state. Make sure you're in the book. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News, to be followed on most of these same stations by My Son Jeep. Tonight, attend the Democratic Convention with the CBS Radio Network.
That's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Theater 5, Suspense, past episodes of this show, and thousands of other old-time radio shows to listen to at relicradio.com. You'll find our Shoutcast stream there, streaming away as well. And you can donate through the website if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. We're 100% funded by you. Thanks to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next week with High Adventure and the Columbia Workshop on another episode of the Relic Radio Show.